Absolutely recording right now.
Are you ready?
More than ready. Born ready.
Welcome to Reluctant Adults, a podcast by me, Lauren Crace, and him, Tim Warwood.
Hello. Yes, what you're about to listen to is an audio delve into the lives of two friends, work colleagues, and more importantly, parents.
Now, these audio offerings serve as a kind of self-help guide as we go through our day-to-day lives, begrudgingly bringing up our kids.
This is Reluctant Adults, episode 2, Lockdown. Locked down. Trapped, enslaved, shackled, chained,
imprisoned
with. I can't remember who said it to me, actually, that actually they should have just given Osama bin Laden a handful of kids to raise again, because he had quite a few kids anyway, didn't he? But
I think he had loads.
Far worse torture. Just give him a load of kids to bring up.
It's not just the kids, though, is it? It's the kids and daily Zoom sessions with school teachers.
So I have to sit in every morning with Lila on her registration. They have a. It's not Zoom. It's Microsoft Teams or whatever. The other, you know, I mean, there's only three of them, or whatever. But Microsoft Teams, and I have to sit in because her teacher, and I'll name no names or shame no shames, but he's not the most dynamic of teachers, shall we say. So I have to sit there because Lila doesn't take in. So I have to listen, digest what he's saying and write it down. I'm basically Lila's PA. I'm doing her notes for what she's got to do for the day, writing them down. So we're on the other day and we're on the meeting and there he is. Let's just call him Mr. A, shall we say. Mr. A's chatting away and I could see half the kids got the videos on, half have got them off. There's another teacher. Let's call her Mrs. A. Mrs. A, she's there shutting people up. Between the two teachers, they haven't quite figured out yet how to mute the kids themselves.
Oh my God, you're joking.
No. So the kids are chiming in with that. Mrs. A will chime in. Zachary, please ask a question at the end. Put your hand, press the raise hand button. And it's actually rather comical. Well, the other morning I'm on and I'm listening and I'm doing my note taking. And Mr. A's in full swing and he's talking about something about English. And he's gone. He's just disappeared from the chat. And I look across at the screen and he's no longer there. So now there's essentially a virtual classroom devoid of any adult in it. And then all of a sudden, Zachary pipes up, he unmutes himself. Someone's kicked Mr. A out! And that's it. One of the kids had booted him out the classroom. But of course, because it's the way it's set up, he couldn't get back in. So that was it. He got booted out of the virtual classroom, couldn't get back in.
So it's like the Zoom version of your teacher going to the toilet and then locking the door on him and wrecking the classroom while they're gone.
The 21st century, yeah. Absolutely. And I sat here and actually really tickled me that did. And Lila, of course, and I'm trying to be the parent here next to Lila, and I'm going, look, trying to say that you've got to do this. This, you know, you look, you have your camera on. It's like you're there and you're present. You're not, you know, sneaking off somewhere, blah, blah. And I look at her, she looks at me, and we just both start laughing. And then we're roaring with laughter at this situation. I'm thinking, this isn't perhaps the right teachings for Lila, but actually it's teaching her to find a funny side in everything.
Well, I'm one of the... on one of Jack's Zooms classes last week, so they're all kind of 7-8, so they all have their photos on, apart from one girl who I've noticed at this point I noticed she didn't have her video on. What she had was a picture of a half naked woman.
What?
In a bra, kind of leaning back and going, you know, obviously having like a great time. So I am dying. Jack is creasing. I then take a photo, a screenshot of this half-naked woman, send it to the parent group chat. And again, mentioning no names, let's just say the mum's called Beth. Yeah. I'll go, oh, live in your profile picture, Beth. Not realizing it was actually a picture of her like 10 years ago.
No.
I thought she was just having the crack and trying to make the male teacher feel awkward. And had put a picture of a half-naked woman on for Bants, but it was actually her.
Oh, and my God.
I sent it to the whole parent WhatsApp group.
Oh, my God. Brilliant.
Oh, I was crying. And then Jack started telling Michael about it on the Zoom the next day. So, of course, Michael's then swiping through all the kids.
Desperately trying to find her.
Picture of the mum. Are Lila's friends, like at that age, because what are they? They're 10, 11.
Yeah.
Are they polite? Are they at an age now where they at least know how to behave on a Zoom chat?
Yeah, half of them. Yeah, it's quite weird. It's some of them have got it down and some totally haven't got it down. So yeah, there'll be a but it's funny, like this, that they'll be asking questions. It's like some of their brains are 10 minutes behind everybody else's. Like, and it's quite interesting because I guess you only really get parents evening. You never really get to be in class with your kids at 10 or 11. You can't remember what it was like when you were 10 or 11. I certainly can't remember, but you know, you can, Mr. A, he's there and he's teaching and he's saying, right, do this. And then he's moved on and now he's talking about humanities and someone will raise their hand button and come on and say, so Mr. A, when we're doing the maths, the PDF that you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
And Lila looked across at me today and she went, see, this is what I have to deal with. It's quite funny. So yeah, they kind of are, they are polite-ish and some of them, it was quite funny. He made everybody turn their cameras on the other day and some, you know, three of them were still in bed.
I would be. I'd still be
zooming from their bed, the school class. I was like, man, that is rock and roll 21st century.
What we get a lot of, and I've noticed this a lot, so Jack does ballet and obviously that he hasn't been to an actual ballet class since last March.
Yeah.
And it's all on Zoom, so it's just horrific. So there's all these kids from across Birmingham doing their bloody Birmingham Royal Ballet dance class in their living rooms or their kitchens. Or I mean, it's just hell. But all these kids just haven't learned the skill of when to be, you know, when to say something and when not to say something. So they're all the way through this dance class, putting their hands up, you know, halfway through a pirouette. And the teacher's like, yes, is there a problem? You know, because they're, you know, ballet teachers are all lovely and polite and well-spoken. Yes, is there a problem? And they go, Miss, how long left of this class? And it's just constantly like, Miss, when is this ending? Miss, when can I go? And I'm there going, oh, my God. Do you need a parent in that room to mute you?
They need a moderator. They all Zooms just need a moderator, don't they?
Yeah, they do. A kid today in one of Jack's Zooms put his hand up and asked when half term was. Oh, Babs, we're only a week in.
Oh, God.
So we are on lockdown 3.0.
Yeah, feels like 7.9 at the minute, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I feel like it's just been continuous because we've had lockdown, then we had that small glimpse of feeling a bit normal over summer.
Yeah.
Which is obviously when we just all started licking each other again and spread the virus everywhere and now put us back in this position.
Yeah.
But because we went from lockdown to a bit free to then to tier two, to tier three, to tier four, to lockdown 3.0.
Yeah.
I'm still not feeling the lie to you.
Not at all, no. And it's really just finding it quite overwhelming. And actually, we're struggling at the minute. So lockdown three has come in and the workload, now we've got two kids at school. So before we only had Lila, but now we have Lila and Ren at school. So Ren is reception. That it feels all of a sudden there's quite a lot of work and we're trying to be good parents and we're trying to do all the work. But I said to Lucy, I said, the fighting and arguing that we're doing to get this workload done is detrimental to the family yin and yang that's going on, because it's just, it's really bad. I said to Lou, something's got to give, and I think it's going to be the schoolwork. But the teachers have been really like, oh, just do these 5 pages. Yeah, just spend these next 9 hours doing these 3 syllabuses, and just, it's really
relentless this time, isn't it?
I feel it like feels way more like the schools have, I think, realized, actually, yeah, we're not going to be teaching the kids, so you have to teach them. They've realized it more, so they've passed it all on to us.
I mean, bless them. Like, I feel for teachers, and obviously the first time everyone was kind of muddling their way through, and you were kind of let off a bit, weren't you? Because no one knew what they were doing. Whereas I think now it's been so long, the teachers have really pulled their finger out and have, like, we have 1, 2, 3, between the 3 kids, we have 5 Zoom classes a day.
Oh, goodness.
Like, it's so intense. And we've got a poor dog that doesn't even get to leave the house till 3:30 because we physically don't have time in between all the classes and feeding them our revolving buffet.
do you know what? Locked. So, okay, let's start there about the revolving buffet, if you want. Sorry, I didn't know how much.
Go.
I just completely,
no.
You completely put me on one.
Absolutely.
So lockdown one comes around. I think let's go back to lockdown one. Let's go chronological here. March 2020. Now, you talk about the revolving buffet. It couldn't be any more apt, because my sister has got 3 kids as well, 3 boys, who I'm essentially told eat like a pack of wild, hungry dogs. And she had to implement the system. She had to write it down on the wall in her kitchen, the kitchen opening times.
Did she? What a good idea.
She left a jug of ice cold water, a jug of water there on the side with cups. And she said, you can have water whenever you want, but the kitchen is only open between these times. Because they'd just waltz in. They'd waltz in and be like, I'm hungry. And as an adult, you'd be like, oh, okay, well, what do you want? Oh, can I have some toast? Yeah, I'll do some toast. And as you're doing the toast, they shout, can I have some Nutella on it? Well, can I? And she just found herself so cooking. Hold on, because, you know, 3 of them, they'd each want something and they'd want something next and next. Yeah. So she's like, no, it stops. So the second week into lockdown, kitchen opening times.
That's such time. That is starting in my house tomorrow. That is such a good idea. The problem is our kitchen is kind of our downstairs. It is our house. It's hard
That's
to escape
true.
The kitchen. But maybe I'm just going to gaffer tape the fridge.
You just become and that's your problem, which we'll get to in a second. But you're essentially a waiter, aren't you? You're like a hotel concierge.
You're putting it nicely. We're slaves.
Slaves, yeah. And it's bad because your 2 little ones, they're old enough now to open the fridge and rip lids off things and decide what they want and just start making a mess.
Well, also, fine, but do it yourself, you lazy little shysters. Like, they'll be sat 2 meters away, 2 feet away from their glass of water, and they're like, Mom, I need a drink. And I'm like, reach over and get it. No, Mom, get me a drink. It's like, Jesus. And because I can't be bothered with the argument, I go, fine, I honestly envisaged lockdown one. I thought, you know what? The positives of this are my kids are going to, they're going to have to learn to get on with things. They're going to become really self-sufficient. It's me and Michael, we've still got to work. We've still got to do other things. Life's still got to continue. So you lot are going to really have to learn to look after yourselves. You're going to have to learn to entertain yourselves. Had all these visions of them disappearing into their bedroom for hours on end, creating dens and playing nicely together. I'm the one making the dens, and then they're the one knocking them over. I'm the one making the food. I'm the one creating all the play. Like, they've just become spoiled little brats.
Yeah.
And even the dog.
Lumping the dog in with them now.
Well, the dog has not been left on its own for one single second in 10 minutes. She's just like, this is ace. I've just got Pete. I mean, she's put on about 6 stone.
Have your kids put on weight? Have you noticed? Do you think they have?
No, they haven't actually, but that does surprise me that they haven't.
Yeah, we haven't. We tried to, because lockdown one as well with the old Joe Wicks, and that was all about health, wasn't it, at the very start. It was like,
yeah.
Oh, lockdown, you're going to be locked in your house. Get your one hour in. Trying to force the kids to do Joe Wicks. I think literally by the end of it, Joe Wicks was literally doing it to millions of middle-aged women.
I was going to say, it was Joe Wicks and moms across the country, wasn't it? Our kids gave up after 4 days. Right, yeah, we all did. But it was sunny, wasn't it?
That's nice.
Who'd have thought you'd look back on lockdown one with, like, really happy memories? Oh, the sun, we could be in the garden, the joy of gardening, queuing up outside garden centres. I loved that. Like the hunt, texting your group, WhatsApp group. Anyone know where you can get compost? Anyone getting compost today? Yeah, I saw some in Lidl. Mega. Can you get, the excitement of finding compost? That was the chat on our group.
Oh.
The
moment that I realised you could get garden things delivered from Amazon was a game changer.
Yeah, I found a really nifty way of doing my gardening. So, before garden centres reopened, I found, it's not even local, it takes about half an hour to get there, a garden centre in the West Midlands sells fruit and veg. So it stayed open because it was classed as essential food. So what they would do, they had their fruit and veg, and then they used to have a selection of like bedding plants as well. Most of the garden centre was closed, but they brought forward loads of their gardening stuff to right by the spuds and the leeks. So you'd be like, well, I really need some cherry tomatoes. And oh, there's a hydrangea. I'll have that too.
It's going to go lovely, my shepherd's pie, this will.
Isn't it? It's going to look fab. So I'd be like, Michael, I'm off to buy some essential fruit and veg, and then I'd come back with a load of shrubbery.
Chrysanthemum.
Yeah, chrysanthemum.
Can you spell it? Can you spell it?
Of course I can't. I can't spell anything.
Did you have any, was there any other joy from lockdown one that you had? Is there anything? I mean, you're right. We were in the garden a lot. We did all the activities. I mean, the kids, we had a pool. I bought a secondhand hot tub for the kids. Have you heard that story? Have I told you that?
No.
I didn't buy it. I got gifted an inflatable hot tub from a friend. With the pump and stuff, and it came with the caveat, oh, here you go, you can have this. It's got a few punctures that need repairing, but other than that, you'll be good to go. So I was like, oh, okay, that sounds wicked. So fixed two punctures that the guy told me about, blew it up. Actually, there was more than two. So deflated it, fixed the other two, blew it up again, found another one, deflated it. Fixed them, blew it up again. Okay, this is pretty good now. Connected all the heater to them, filled it up with water. The heater was leaking, didn't have the right seals. So had to drain it of water, deflate it, take the heater off, buy some heater seals. Bought the heater seals, connected those back up, inflated it again, filled it with water, another puncture. Deflated it, emptied it, disconnected it, fixed the puncture, inflated it again, put the seal back on, filled it back up, turned it on, heater doesn't work. Oh my God. And this went on. In the end, I fixed 19 punctures on this inflatable hot tub. Looked like Frankenstein's back by the end of it. It was ridiculous. I had to completely strip the internal heating element from this pump. But I did actually get it all. In the end, I got it all working and it worked really. It was actually quite good. And we had a few sessions out of it and the kids loved it. Trouble is, they'd dive in it, then they'd run through the back garden. There'd be mud and leaves and grass and everything. I mean, it looked like sheep dip by, an hour after it had been used and what have you. And they'd run through the house and towels everywhere and how it is. But then I let some water out of it and I tried to move it, and I yanked it once and tried to move it when it had just still a bit too much water in, and ripped the handle off it and ripped a massive hole in it. So that was it. Done then.
Your mate didn't want it back, did he?
Didn't want it back with no handle. No, and a big hole in the side. But going on to try and buy spare parts, this was like proper the height of lockdown. And they were just everyone was sold out. Everyone was sold out of inflatable hot tubs everywhere. Parts, accessories, chlorine, tablets.
Oh God, have you got to put chlorine in it?
Oh, we had all the tablets. I mean, I turned into a biology professor by the end of it, measuring pH levels and acid and tablets and bits of this and checking the water temperature and level. And it's a faff. Don't get an inflatable. It's a faff.
Well, I wouldn't really, because there's something about hot tubs that gross me out, if I'm honest.
Really? Bathing in other people's skin.
I mean, it's not that. I think it's just because I've got that vision of like wrinkly older people getting kinky in a hot tub, and it just puts me off.
Swingers.
Well, I don't know. I always think it's just that whenever people tell me they've got a hot tub in their garden, I always just think a little bit less of them. I know that's bad, but that is true. I just like,
yeah,
just something not right about them.
So you don't want to come around and have a go in my hot tub?
I don't know, Tim. We didn't have a hot tub, but we did have a large swimming pool, which actually became a really lovely ritual, because you'd get it out every day.
Yeah.
The kids would refuse to get in it with cold water. So Michael, bless him, would...
No, he wasn't.
He did.
He wasn't doing the kettle.
It was no.
Kettle and stove and...
No, he would... You know those massive big plastic garden tubs?
Yeah, yeah.
He would stand in the kitchen, fill like one up with like 6 litres of, you know, hot tap water, carry it out into the garden, pour it in, go back, do that about 10 times until the kids dipped their fingers and, you know, decided when it was an appropriate temperature. This is what I'm saying about them turning into spoiled brats.
Yeah.
So they would then, you know, have their 4 seconds in it, jumping in and out, you know, drowning each other, all of that drama. Then when they eventually gave up on it, I would then, whilst cracking open my first gin, which normally was about 2:30 in the afternoon.
Good.
I would then use it to water my garden every day.
Oh, okay.
And dip in there with my watering can, go round, do all, I mean, I sound like a real green-fingered goddess, don't I, Tim?
You're really selling it. Go on.
But that was like the joy of, like, I hope I do gardening like I did last year, because I did enjoy it. And I had a lovely tan.
Did you?
Can't say the same for lockdown 3.0. There's absolutely no tan going
on
here. God,
winter is just no joke though, isn't it? And that's the thing, is you can't even, you're trapped with these little buggers and you can't even throw them outside because it's wet and muddy and horrible. And our back door's like a slidey patio door. Mm. And it's just, it's just mud. That's all it is. It's just mud.
I've been thinking about getting that fake grass.
Oh, the dream.
I know. My friend's got it. And she said, so firstly, that you just don't bring mud in the house. So when they've got their swimming pools out and obviously the water goes over the side, then you just create a massive swamp in your garden. They don't have that. And then when it snowed... The kids went out in the snow and are playing in the snow and they're not picking up mud or any rubbish in this. It's just pure snow.
That
just
is
sounds
good.
Like heaven. But my dad would kill me.
Would he?
Yeah.
Is he pretty green fingered?
Yeah.
Traditional.
He just thinks it would be a terrible thing to do for the nature.
The nature.
You know, the nature. But I am thinking about it, because then all that muddy problems go away and you can just chuck them outside, lock the door. You've got loads going on in your garden anyway. We can go and live in the treehouse. You could go and live in the treehouse.
Not
Why
anymore.
Do you do that? Why?
Not anymore.
Why?
Well, you know what? You know, I heard what's happened to the treehouse.
No.
Mate, strap yourself in. All right. So just to fill you in on what happened with the treehouse was, I've got these conifer trees. I've got there's four of them, and they stand next to each other in my back at the bottom of my garden. They kind of like separate a third of the garden. They're in a perfect line. They've been planted 60 years ago, probably. But when we moved in, the tops were lopped off, and they've been lollipopped. So Lucy, her mom and dad, cut off all of the branches back to the stalks. The stalks? What are they called? The trunks, that's it.
Trunks.
Back to the trunks, all the way from the ground up to about 8 foot. So you've got these beautiful trunks, and you can walk under them. And actually, the way they've grown and they're quite hollow on the inside. So when you go inside the conifers or stand underneath them, the way they've grown up perfectly. And I was left with this absolutely perfect cavity where the conifers have grown, which just screamed out for a treehouse. So when lockdown one came around, I just started to drive around in the dead of night when I wasn't supposed to be out to, like, I used to drive to industrial estates and pick up and go and grab pallets from around the side of skips and wherever I could find a pallet. So I then, inspired by my friend Joe Rackley, that made an amazing tree house. It was more like a tree castle, to be honest. He actually featured in the Daily Mail, his tree house.
The Daily Mail.
So Daily Mail.
Wow.
Link in the show notes to Joe Rackley's tree house. It's very impressive anyway.
I thought you were going to say he even featured in Guardian Homes.
No.
No, it was the Daily Mail.
It was the Daily Mail for Lockdown Dad produces incredible treehouse.
Oh, a whole feature. Like,
multi-layer with a viewing platform and double slides. It is incredible.
Wow.
Anyway, so inspired by Joe Rackley, I started to build my pallet treehouse. And over the course of about 3-4 weeks, I built what was more of a tree platform than a tree house per se.
No,
but
it was good.
Thank you very much. Well, I built it anyway. Steps going up it goes into this tree, into this perfect cavity in behind the branches. But it was about 10 foot high. So to make it nice and safe, I built a rail going around the outside. I then spent a day cutting little slats to make a safe, you know, like a fence, to make a fence basically all the way around it to make it safe mm-hmm. for the kids. So I made it nice and safe. And for my birthday, for my 41st birthday in May, one of my best mates, Nathan, bought me a nail gun. I don't know if you ever, like an automatic nail gun.
Stapler, but really good one.
Yeah, really good. Well, a nail gun, basically. Like, yeah, dangerous, really good. So I went round, and I'm putting on all of these slats, and there was about 85 of them going all the way around. And because the angles of the treehouse are a bit off, they're a bit shonky, I was basically offering up the board, measuring it, cutting it, nailing it in. So each plank of the 85 was bespoke to where it sits on the treehouse. So they all had their place, they all had the area, you know, centimeter in between. Looked very cool, very rustic. Anyway, lasted fine all summer. Went away in September. Or was it October? Actually, I went away and went to Austria for a bit of work. And I came back. And when I came back, it was late at night, landed, came home, saw Lucy, went to bed, woke up the next morning, came downstairs. Nice day outside. And my kitchen sink looks out up the garden towards the treehouse. And I look at the treehouse and there's just lots of bits of wood everywhere around. And I just turned to Lucy. I said, "What's all the wood up there?" And she went, "Oh, I think one of the panels has come off." And I went, "One?" And I looked and you couldn't really see. So I went out the back, got my slippers on, walked up the garden. Sunny had kicked every single panel off the treehouse.
I bet that was fun though.
He'd been around. It literally looked like a bomb had gone off. It looked like someone had blown it up. And he just kicked all of the bloody panels off for no reason.
Oh, Sonny. How many of his toys did you throw away?
Can you believe it?
Did you cry?
I was livid. I was absolutely... And he still says to me, "Dad, are you mad at the treehouse?" Yes, I am still mad about what you did with the treehouse. Because they're all bespoke and they're all a certain length for a certain point. I can't just put them up willy-nilly. I've got to, like, sort them out and put them back up.
But, Tim, you've got loads of time now to do that.
That is true.
What
is true.
What else are you doing? Sack this... off homeschooling.
Yeah.
Get them all out in the garden tomorrow in the rain.
Measuring up where the batons go back up on the treehouse.
Well, there you are, you little sods. Do that.
Mate, I was livid. Absolutely livid.
So I was looking up.
Go on.
Stories that happened during lockdown to other people.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to name this feature. If you think your lockdown was bad, dot, dot, dot. So, one article, a guy in China, right?
Yeah.
It was during lockdown one, obviously China, super, super under strict measures.
Yeah.
Started to feel really, really unwell. Stomach cramps, being sick, thought he had some sort of maybe some gastro coronavirus mix, just feeling absolutely awful. So in the end, had to go into hospital. But the hospital just couldn't work out what was wrong with him.
Yeah.
They did rule out any gastro problems, and it wasn't until they gave him an X-ray that could they realise what was wrong with him.
What had he done?
What do you think he did?
Oh, God.
It's lockdown, you're stuck in your flat, you can't go anywhere, super strict, absolutely no garden centres open, nothing to do. What would you do, Tim Warwood, with your spare time?
Do I really have to answer that?
Just give me some guesses.
Well, the thing is, my dad worked in A&E, so he's got an absolute smorgasbord of stories of people and what they get up to in their spare time. So I think he might have lost something.
Mm.
Was it electrical?
No. Well...
Did it require batteries?
Not require batteries, but one type of this thing is electric.
Oh, God. What had he done? What had he lost up his...
He put an eel up his bum.
You're joking?
Yeah. He put an eel up his bum. So if you think you're ever bored, you weren't as bored as that bloke from China, because you have not yet shoved a very long, slimy sea creature up your backside.
Oh, it's literally made my colon tense, that has.
Feel better, though.
What? I guess for some kind of sexual gratification.
I don't know. But obviously, read that, thought, that's a great story.
Oh, my God.
Do you feel like maybe you're in a better place than that man?
I don't know. You see, the thing is, I always look for the silver lining and everything. So he'd have had a couple of days in hospital to recover. I'd trade that for being locked down with Lila and Mr. A and Year 6 algebra.
For everyone who can't see Tim, we're currently... whilst recording this, we're on Zoom to each other, and you really look like you're going to kill yourself.
Do you know what? I don't want to get too deep, because it's supposed to be a happy podcast, but I feel a bit down. Do you?
That's okay. Yeah, I do. I feel absolutely terrible.
Do you know what it is? I've shouted at the kids so much, I feel guilty.
Yeah.
But also, I shouldn't feel guilty, because when I shout at them, it doesn't do anything.
They don't give a shit, do they, Tim?
No, they literally couldn't give a shit. They look at you like, yeah, what are you going to do about it? I had the fear of my dad hitting me as a kid, that I knew that if I did something bad, well, actually, what my brain process would do is go, have I ever done this before? Yes. Did it hurt? Yes, it did, because of the smack. I won't do that again. Have I ever done this before? No. Do it, man. It'd be cool. And then you get... I know now, very convincingly, number one, I won't ruin my mom's surprise 40th birthday party by hiding around the corner waiting for her. That's number one. Number two, I also won't slide down the back of my maxi car. And number three, I will never hit golf balls off the flat roof from the back of my house. You know... because they're memories that that instantly bring up pain that I associate that doing those.
They resulted in your trousers being pulled down and a smack on the bottom.
Yeah. But we can't really do that to our kids anymore, can we? So it's
classed as not allowed. The thing is, they don't give a crap. But also, as fed up as we are with them, bless them, and we do love them, but they're fed up with us, Tim. They are so fed up with our faces.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are.
Isla said to me this morning, "Mommy, why are you sad? How bad is that?" Oh. And at that point, I know, awful. And actually, I wasn't sad. I was just so full of cold and snot that I just couldn't be bothered to talk. And she went, "Why are you sad?" And I said, "I'm not sad. But I am sad.
Leave me alone. Ren asked Lucy why she was angry. And Lucy's like, "I'm not angry." And she's like, "Well, why have you got those lines on your face?"
Oh, what a bitch.
I know. Dead good, isn't it?
Do you know what lockdown does do to me, talking about lines on my face? I spend an absolute ton on skincare.
Yeah.
I buy so much stuff going, "I'm going to fix those lines on my face. I'm going to fix that. I'm going to, you know, do you know what? I'm scared to say it because my husband's going to listen."
Go on, what?
I spent £100 on a face cream yesterday.
Are you shitting me? £100? How much did you buy?
No, one face cream.
One?
Yeah.
What does it do?
I'm just hoping it makes me look really fantastic. Technically, it's my husband's fault because he bought me a face cream. It's Charlotte Tilbury, by the way, if you want to send me free stuff. He bought me for Christmas Charlotte Tilbury face cream, Wonder Cream. And with that, they always send you a load of samples, and they sent me some free samples of the night cream, and I've been using it and it's really lovely.
Right.
And I actually think, tell Lucy, I think it's been helping with my frown lines. You know, my number 11s is.
£100. I definitely won't tell Lucy.
No, but it's cheaper than Botox. So because he got me this really good face cream and then I got those testers, now the testers were so good, I've actually gone and bought the night cream, which happened to be £100.
Well done, marketing department at Charlotte Tilbury.
Yeah, I know. But I think it actually is good. I don't know what's in it.
You do look young.
Thanks.
That might be the beauty light that you've got shining 2 inches from your face as well.
My ring light. Shush. I got that during lockdown. £17 off Amazon.
Nice.
Okay. We're going to end this, Tim, because I know you need to go and hide in a bush.
Yep.
What was your number one Amazon lockdown purchase?
Oh, Christ. Why are you springing that on me now? Let me have a Google quickly. I'll just dip into my... We've just had a Bellatrix Lestrange poster turn up today. Now, I should advocate that I'm really not into Amazon. I only use Amazon when we can't go shopping because Amazon is a terrible company, if I'm really, really honest.
I'm going into my Amazon.
I tell you what, I dread to think how much we've spent. There's a Santa costume, green screen, my webcam. The best thing is Lucy gets it so wrong. So I'm looking at all the stuff that Lucy's bought and it's rubbish. It's turned up like the wrong sizes and the wrong fur rugs and stuff like that. I don't know what it's been.
I'm the queen of buying things wrong. I bought, you know, there's these really gorgeous books called Little People, Big Dreams or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The nice illustrated one.
Yeah, beautiful. And I got Emmy the Jane Austen one for her birthday.
Yeah.
And then when it arrived and I went to wrap it, I bought the bloody German edition.
Sehr gut.
Sehr gut, exactly. Oh, do you speak German? Maybe you can
ambition,
zoom in the
ambition.
One time.
I could try. So we bought Lila, we bought Ren a few actually, because Ren is really into those books as well. But when they came, A, they were the little small hardback editions.
Oh, no, you bought the baby ones. You
bought the baby ones. And two, we didn't buy her Dolly Parton, and she cried when she opened them because she didn't get Dolly Parton. So there we go. Do you know what? Lockdown hasn't been all bad. I did get a skateboard ramp. That was pretty rad. So the kids are now hurting themselves on a daily basis, running up and down the skateboard ramp.
As are you.
As am I. And that's about it, really.
Well, I better go because my husband has got to go and pick up a hire van because he's moving to Cardiff.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm. So next podcast, single parenting.
Yeah. Single mom. Tim, it's all right. There is light at the end of the tunnel. August 2025, you will be on a beach.
We'll be totally back to normal then.
We'll be so back to normal. It'll be just lovely.
It'll be fine. Our kids will be idiots, needy idiots that haven't got past reception age learning.
They'll have still repeating.
They'll have the IQ of a reception child at the age of 11. No, it'll be absolutely fine. Hey, thank you very much for listening. Hope you've enjoyed your time with me and Lauren and Reluctant Adults. Do get in touch at Lauren R. Crace, at Tim_Warwood, or at Reluctant Adults. Just let us know how you're getting on, what you've been up to, what you've been doing. And as ever, you know what to do. A little subscribe, hit that subscribe button. Give us a review, drop us 5 stars, and that helps us to climb the podcast tree of life.
That was lovely. Thank you, Tim.
You're more than welcome.
Ta-ra,
speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.